Welcome to the Deep Practice Podcast, where we will share tips, stories, and strategies that help bring power into your discipleship process. I'm your host, Becky Shabelsky. Today, I have the privilege of introducing you to the founder of Go and Do Discipleship, Bob Beer. Welcome to the Deep Practice Podcast, Bob. It's so good to have you here with me today. And to start, we want to say that the Deep Practice Podcast is a production of Go and Do Discipleship. So will you just tell us a little bit about who you are and maybe a little bit about Go and Do?
Well, thanks, Becky. Yeah. Let me just kind of walk you through my story. First, I'm 64 years old, and I've spent most of my career in business. But when I was 25, I became a co-founder of a company that supplies editing services and graphic services to large publishing companies. We actually worked with big textbook publishing companies that make college textbooks. And we sold this company in 2008, and I left in 2011 to pursue this longing I had at the time to try to help churches with their educational processes, do a better job of teaching people the lessons of the Bible, even though at the time I had no idea how I was going to do that. I just had this longing to do that. And no idea what I was going to do. When I left, our company was one of the largest firms in our industry. And but to get there, we had to overcome a major obstacle back in the year 2000, which really propelled our growth forward. And that year, we invented a new editing service that could output edited files that could be taken directly to the web, online, and directly to print. And at the time, the internet was emerging as a big, publishing, mechanism. So publishers were very eager to use our editing services. And we had this surge in demand for these services, which actually was a big problem for us because it took months for us to train an editor, to get them up to speed to do this kind of work. And we didn't have months. We needed capacity like ASAP. And so we went to work studying everything we could about the process of learning. We read books on cognition, memory, motivation, all kinds of things, trying to figure out how could we shorten the training time for our editors. And the process we came up with had three components which were known at the time to accelerate learning. And the first one was, we called it small chunks, where you take something to be learned and you break it into smaller chunks. And what that does is that slows people down and helps them actually master things before they move to the next thing, as opposed to skimming over things. And so we took this editing job and we broke it into around 150 individual tasks or chunks. And the next component we put into the process was something called mental images. And the idea there was, if people have an opportunity to see something before they actually learn to do it, in other words, they watch an expert do it multiple times, it helps them kind of project themselves into doing it and seeing themselves doing it, and gives them the drive to actually want to practice. And what we did with this is we took an expert editor and we made, using screen capture technology, we made a movie of them doing each one of these 150 chunks and how to do it properly. And then the third component we put into it was called coaching or coaching support. And so if we hired you to be an editor, and our editors worked all over the country remotely for us. So if we hired you and you lived in Texas, what we would do is assign you an expert editor from our facility in Ohio. And that person would be your coach. And that person would would start you at chunk number one, would send you practice material and the actual movie to watch how to do step number one. And then at some point when you're ready, they would actually test you and they'd watch your screen. And if you could do chunk number one properly, then they moved to chunk number two. But if you couldn't, you had to go back until you had mastered it. And to our surprise, Becky, the first editors that came through this process came through in a matter of weeks, not months. And they were like expert editors when they came out of it. It was a tremendously surprising thing. And in addition to that, the people who went through it liked it so much that they were telling their editing friends and, you know, colleagues about our company, and we were getting all these applications, you know, to come work for us. And I later learned that the process we had put together actually had a name. It was called Deep Practice. And
so how did you learn that it was called Deep Practice? Where did that come from?
Right before I left my company in 2011, this book came across my desk, and I don't remember how, but it was a book called The Talent Code, written by Daniel Coyle, who's a man who had traveled around the world studying these places he called talent hotbeds, places where people get like really good at what they're doing in a really short period of time. Like there's a talent hotbed in Russia for tennis players. They have one indoor court, but they've produced all these professional tennis players. And there's a talent hotbed for learning how to play the violin in upstate New York, where they've recreated all these great violin players. And in the book, he went around to these various places and found out they were all using a similar process, a learning process, which he called Deep Practice, which was very similar to the one that we had come up with for our editors. It was chunking things up, providing like mental images of what it looks like, and then helping people practice repeatedly. And in the book, he talked about the neuroscience behind deep practice. And he claimed that deep practice produces a tenfold increase, you know, in learning speed, and that it could be used to learn anything. And when I remember, that's when the light bulb kind of came on for me, because I was ready to leave my company and wondering, how am I going to help churches with their learning processes? And I thought, hey, how about I have experience at deep practice. Maybe I could use deep practice to find ways to help lay people like me learn, you know, the essential spiritual disciplines of the faith, like how to forgive people or other things like that. So that's what I did.
So you, in your business experience, had a crisis that came up, which drove you to innovation, and you developed this process, and it was crazy successful for you, accelerating learning, producing high quality experts, really, in the field, in the editing field, and people found it so enjoyable. They went around and basically invited everybody they could think of to come and apply to the company. So it was really successful. And at the same time, you're sensing something of a nudge from God to leave your company and move on to do something else. And you're wondering about bringing deep practice into the church. And so you're kind of launching out on an adventure. So would you tell us kind of what your next steps were as you began that adventure?
Yeah, I formed a team of three or four people. There was a theologian, there's a seminary in town. And so I got a theologian that I knew, a writer that I knew, and like an expert in small group dynamics that I knew. And so we started out on this journey to create deep practice tools for learning spiritual disciplines. And we worked at it for 3 years, and we made a lot of mistakes and had a lot of failed attempts. But by the end of that 3 years, we had this little book with five spiritual practices that, and with deep practice tools for learning five spiritual practices, like how to forgive people and how to relinquish worries and fears, you know, how to interact with God in these, in, you know, in these different ways. And, And we started testing this book in small groups around Northern Ohio. And
You came to the church I was serving.
Yes. And Becky, you, as you know, you were one of the first people to test this, these tools. And we started seeing exactly what we had hoped to see. People in these test groups were quickly learning these practices, and many were having amazing experiences of God's grace transforming their heart by using these practices. And so we were just so excited. We thought we had it. And so we started handing the books out to everybody we knew outside of our test groups, like individuals and small groups all through churches in Ohio. And immediately we ran into an obstacle that we didn't expect. And what it was is when we checked back with people we'd given these books to and asked them if they liked it and they were using it, we heard that things like, well, I'm going to get around to using it, or I read a little bit of it. And what we found is people knew these spiritual disciplines were important, they weren't motivated to use the book. They weren't motivated to practice these things. And
what do you think was happening as they're, knowing they need to, but aren't seemingly able to get on into that practice phase? What was going on?
We didn't know. I mean, I wasn't quite sure. I mean, it had tested so well in our small groups. You know, I mean, you remember that you had a test group and it had gone so well.
Yeah.
And once we got outside the test groups, it just didn't go well. People just weren't doing it. And, it was very frustrating. I remember being very, very discouraged at the time and thinking, I was ready to quit. I mean, it's like, I don't know why this is going on. And then one day God brought to my mind this experience I'd had a few years earlier. And it was an experience that when I thought back on it, taught me something about the motivation problem, you know, and why we were having trouble, you know, motivating people to use the book. And it involved the coaching support piece, which we had not quite done right, the coaching support piece of deep practice. And so that's the next thing we were on the path to learning at that point.
Well, I know that our listeners will be really excited to hear how you overcame this obstacle. And so we'll pick up with that story on our next episode. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Becky.
I hope you'll join me on the next episode, where Bob Beer, the founder of Go and Do Discipleship, will continue his story, sharing with us how he overcame the motivation challenge that surfaced when he moved the practice tools from test groups out into the wider church. In the meantime, you can find us at www.deeppracticepodcast.com. Go ahead and subscribe now so you don't miss the next episode. And thanks again for joining me here on the Deep Practice Podcast. See you soon.